Welcome back to the Weekly Manga Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about all of your favorite ongoing Japanese manga. This week, the highly acclaimed author, at least by me on this podcast, Surun Hatome, who previously created Service Wars, is back with their new series, Chuck Beans. We'll also be checking out Sakamoto Days as we return from the flashback of Shun. And finally, we'll catch up on Ruri Dragon as she discovers yet another dragon power. All that manga news and more coming right up. Hello again, my name is Bruce. I am the proprietor of the White Gray Black YouTube channel. This week, I am joined again by my constant co-host, Gautam.
Hello, hello.
A special shout out and thanks to our Patreon subscribers, Yaji Black. If you want to have your name right at the top of the episode like Yaji Black, come see some bonus content. Check out patreon.com/WGBmanga. Starts at only $3. All right, Gautam, let's get into Chuck Beans by Surun Hatome. This author is the author who previously did Service Wars, like I mentioned. If you go back to, how long ago was that? A year and a half ago, almost, that got canceled? We talked about it on the podcast. I loved Service Wars. I thought it was hilarious and great. This guy is back with a new series. I think this chapter one is awesome. You have a little bit less experience. What did you think of Chuck Beans chapter one?
I thought it was stupid as hell. I loved it, though.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know. It's a very unique brand of comedy in that I feel like I've only seen this particular vibe of both being random and realistic out of Service Wars, you know?
Yeah,
we'll get into it. That sentence will make more sense when we talk about the chapter.
Yeah, we were talking about this right before, but it's one of those things that always keeps you guessing because sometimes they will have a gag and then you'll go, oh, haha. And then they'll go the completely opposite. They'll be like, wait, no, this is not the thing. We'll give some examples later on. And sometimes they'll have a gag and you'll go, oh, okay, I get it. They're going to zag. They're going to go another direction. And they'll be going, nope, this is 100% serious. We're taking this at face value. And that's, so it really leaves you guessing. I think it's great. I think it's core humor, but yeah, let's talk about the chapter. So, we go in on a high school student seemingly who failed his test pretty badly, 13. He's like, I'll need to give my mom an excuse. He hears a clattering in his desk and in comes Chuck Beans, who is,
and he yells his name, Chuck Beans. Yeah, Chuck Beans. Flies out of the drawer.
Yes. A bean from the future arrives. Yeah. Sci-fi comedy that breaks the norm. And I love that the title is Dreaming of a Rent-Free Life, because as we'll see, Chuck Beans. Yeah. And so this is the thing, is it's like, oh, it's going to be one of these buddy comedies. It's like, no, the high school boy immediately freaks the fuck out. He's like, what the heck? What are you? He's like, what? He's like, how does it know my name? He's like, I'm Chuck Beans. I've come from the future to lead your life in the right direction. I'm a bean shaped robot. He throws him out the window. It's so good. It's hilarious.
I love that the reaction. He doesn't even want to look at Chuck Beans.
Yeah.
Let alone touch him. Chucks him out. To preface, forgive us if we miss Doraemon references. You can't speak for you, Bruce. I've not watched or read any Doraemon.
I know what it is. I'm aware of it.
It's like a blue guy.
The thing that this reminded me of, this is probably more appropriate for people your and I's age. Do you remember, is it a Sunny D commercial where the sun comes out and like chases the kids through the house? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Is that
I do.
The like, what is
that? It reminds me of that. And the kids are screaming.
They're screaming and the mom's like, ah! Sunny Delight purple stuff commercial. Is this? Yeah, where they're like, Sunny Delight. No, wait, is this it? No, this isn't it. Where's the, I don't know. Maybe that's it.
He comes in like a home intruder trying to like murder them.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing? Kids, come back. Like, I was reminded of that through this chapter like a ton.
Yeah.
But we get back. He's like, hello, you there? He like shuts the window on. He's like, come on, I'll explain everything. So please let me in. He's like, I'm not scary, I promise. He's like trying every entry. Like,
yeah, I love that.
I love this. Like, I'm.
And you know, it's like perfect because this is how we would react in this situation
in real life. Yeah, weird, exactly. Like
it's being creepy. It's trying to get in.
It's trying to get into his house. Point. Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those things where it's like, okay, like this is realistic in the sense that we are taking, if this thing appeared to a real life person, this is how you would react. It's like, holy crap, it won't stop trying to break into my house. What the heck is that thing? How is it even moving? Is it battery powered? I've never even touched something with skin like that before. It felt like a mix between carpet and a blackboard. And the doorbell rings like a horror movie, like ding dong.
You know, with the description of how it felt, I can actually imagine that mixture of feeling. Carpet and blackboard.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but yeah.
It's, yeah.
This author is on some crackhead wavelength that I don't know, that I'm also on for some reason.
I cannot encourage you enough to go, if you have not checked out Service Wars, if you're watching this,
go through it all.
Like, the first, I think, chapter doesn't, it doesn't go as hard as this chapter one. So it starts out and you're like, oh, okay, what is this going to be? And then it like very, very rapidly devolves into this kind of like wild, wacky, like insane stuff. It's so good. It's really short too. I think it's only like 25, 30 chapters maybe. Yeah, you get through it in an afternoon. Chuck Beans here is like, you're Shosuke Kondo, first year high school student. Your grades are lacking. You have no talent for sports. You're tone deaf and unsociable, and you've never had a girlfriend. He's like, why does he know all my personal information? He's like, if you continue down this road, you won't succeed in life. You have like a little flash forward.
I love how this is like one of these like guiding force type characters that usually other people just accept in a manga. But it sounds like he's a stalker, like trying to kill this guy. Yeah.
He's like, that's right, Command. I'm here to help you get your life in order. He's like, well, you understand now, right? I'd say that this feels like deja vu, but he's like, what's that? I can't hear you. He's like, there's no way any of that's true. What do you mean you're from the future? He's like, oh boy. He's like, wait, are you the kind of person who doesn't really read manga or watch anime? He's like, right. I don't. How did you know that? He's like, I see. So there's still people out there like that. He's like, I guess I'm kind of a mascot. See, blah, blah, blah. See, I love this, like, him just, like, explaining the way that these types of series usually go. He's like, you see, most people don't really start by questioning what kind of life form I am. Generally, they're okay with just letting me live with them. Could it be that you're squatting in an empty house at the moment? He's like, I'm calling the police. No, don't do that. But I'm from the... He's like, you can't stop me.
I love the is your house empty comment is even more threatening.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it just... Like, it works both ways as a kind of a trope of these little critters that end up living with people and changing their lives. But it also works on the sense that he is coming off more and more like a home intruder trying to burgle this guy.
Yes, there's lots of lines in here where Red kind of, if someone was outside your house and said this to you, how would it make you feel? Like, are you alone in your house right now? And then you finally, like, again, this is another thing where it's like, oh, I expected this to be, you know, cute thing, but it's like, no, Chuck Beans, he freaks out now. He, like, goes hard. He's like, why would you listen to me? Like, what's wrong with you? How long are you going to keep this up? He's like, let me in. He's like, nope, I don't know you, you stupid brat. And then we go into it gets a little meta, which is another kind of funny angle this takes. It's like, if this was a manga, this exposition would have only taken 2 pages. He's like, but we aren't in a manga. It's essential to focus on reality and life, you know? It's like, I can make you better than everyone by using technology from the future. I have the power to do that. It's like, I must overcome my own hurdles in life with my own strength. That way they become valuable life experiences. That's what I believe in. It's like, don't you want to look down upon all the people that made fun of you? It's like, who'd want to live a life like that? Who cares if they make fun of me? It's not worth my time or energy.
I'd like to go back and just mention one thing.
Yeah.
This character is coming off like a really well-adjusted saint-like figure, right?
Yes.
Like, with these super healthy responses. When in the first page, he was like, oh, I got shit grades.
I'm going to lie to my mom about it.
I'm going to lie to my mom about it. And he's like, I hope she just come back from work.
Yeah.
Like, he's being a real prick in the first page, only to, like, suddenly, like, wax poetic to Chuck Bean, taking, like, the moral high ground.
And also,
silly.
Yeah, sorry. It also, like, goes against what these types of stories are always about, which is, like, the main character has some main failing and the creature shows up to, you know, help them through it or tell them, you know, I'm trying to think of like a good example of this. Cause like even kind of in like magical girl things, right? It's like, oh, you know, I'm like bored with life, you know, life is boring and I want it to be more exciting. And then some creature shows up and you get to be a magical girl. Like it's kind of a play on that also, but and he basically is just
they have goals, right? They have like, they have something they're striving towards that they and so they're beaten down by society or something. They can't hit it without this magical power. This main character doesn't seem to give a shit that he has bad grades. He seems fine. Like, he seems like okay with his lot in life.
Yeah, it's his responses are great. It's like, I was like, I can make you better than everyone. He's like, I must overcome my own hurdles in life with my own strength. That way they become valuable experiences. That's like, that's the most well-adjusted manga main character in chapter one, maybe of all time. Like,
he is definitely full of shit, though, right? Like,
maybe, no, I don't know.
He actually, I can't tell if he's saying this because he wants to dissuade Chuck from breaking into his house, or if he is just taking the moral high ground out of pettiness.
I don't know. Which is something that is fun. Like I mentioned about the series, is that this could be this character playing this 100% straight, and he does feel like this, or this could be a zag in that he's actually a duplicitous liar, and none of these things are what he actually wants. He wants, you know, I think it's to lie to his mom.
I think it's the latter. I think he's just telling Chuck everything is chill, so Chuck would like go away.
Yeah, maybe just like, oh, he wants to give me this. No, I'll give him away with that. But
yeah,
he's like, wait, are you a saint? He's like, how from here on out he has such a mediocre life and he's really stupid. How can he be such a good person? It's like, hey, just let me in, okay? I want to help you be happy even more now. It's like, I can tell that you're serious about this. I got scared because it's the first time I've ever seen a creature like you. That's why, could you just wait out there for a bit? It's like, does that mean?
He's totally just lying, right? Yeah. Just stall out.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the cops show up and he's like, what are you doing? It's like, you seriously went and called the cops? Like, Shosuke. It's like, I love that the cops show up because you normally it's always like, oh, some weird thing is here. I'm going to call the cops on you. And it's like, they never call the cops. The cops never show up, right? Because it's like a fantasy thing, or it's, you know, isekai or whatever.
And then he has a Doraemon-esque gadget to get him out of that situation.
Yeah, he's just a baghead. He's like, Chuck Beans, open, Invisi jacket. He's like, I'm blending my surroundings. I'm like, put this on. Which, again, is just like a goofy, it's like, you have my attention.
I think that's what Doraemon, I think he like has a different gadget for every situation.
Okay.
I
love this. Like the story about the bean shaped robot from the future called Chuck Beans will take place once he gets into Shosuke's house. He's like, I'm definitely going to make you happy. Very threatening final thing.
I know. Chuck Beans is not a chill dude.
Also, I didn't even read this, but the very last line here at the bottom is like, not going to give up or let you down until the story gets cliche.
I did not notice that either.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love this. Like
I can't wait for chapter one. see what actually happens.
if he like ever gets into his house. I don't know, man. It's just this author just gets my like. It isn't my sense of humor in that I am funny in this way. It is my sense of humor in that this is the type of humor that makes me laugh because I do not know what to expect.
I agree. It's. I think this lol random humor can go really bad for people if they are unfunny. I think this person knows how to straddle the line super well, where it doesn't feel like chaotically Penguin of Doom, if fellow millennials. Random, but it I don't know. It hits the right notes for me too. Is all I'm trying to say.
And I think what we'll get going forward is I think Chuck Beans will like follow him to school or like, you know. Because there's always when
his friends are going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm thinking of like even like in video games, like Persona 5, right? Like when you bring Mona to school, it's like, oh, I have to put him in the backpack and hide him. And they stays in my desk. You can feed him. And like Chuck Beans will try to feed him test answers and he'll be like, no, don't help me. Like stuff like that is kind of what I'm expecting. But I don't know, because I did not expect any of most of the jokes that were made here. And they were all great. So I'm looking forward to it. I thought this.
I also love the name Chuck Beans.
It's so goofy.
It's like, how do you sell a manga with this name? It's great, don't get me wrong. It's just, it's Chuck Beans.
Yeah.
What a baffling series. Yeah, I look forward to more.
I wonder, I'm trying to see what... No, I don't know enough Japanese. I was like, does this just say Chuck Beans? But I don't know enough Japanese to read that, so... I'm sure his name is something like that. So
it's Charles Entertainment Beans.
Chuck E. Beans. Cool. Anything else about Chuck Beans chapter one?
No. What else is there to be said? It was weird.
It's great.
It was weird and good.
Yeah, this is definitely one of these ones that's like digital manga was made for this. Just like give me 25 chapters of goofy shit every year and a half from Hatsume Tsurun and I'm good to go.
I know we both like this, but I don't know how many people will like this or will find this funny.
Yeah, I don't want to be the guy who's like, oh, it's a more sophisticated type of humor, so I don't know if everyone will get it. But like, this does kind of require knowledge. Like, it requires, like we mentioned, like probably it's funnier if we have knowledge of Doraemon, but definitely having knowledge of like this story, you tropes, know, like the other right? helper. Yeah, having knowledge of the story tropes makes it funnier for when they're broken. And if you don't know about those, this is probably just like, what is this? I don't get this. So, yeah, so I don't know. Let us know in the comments. Leave a comment if you like this. Definitely go check it out. If you do like this and thought this was funny, again, sir, go check out Service Wars. It's not super long. It should still be on Manga Plus, I would think. I don't think they take series down that finish there. Same author. Yeah. Man, it's fun. It's great. I don't know. This is exactly my type of stuff.
Yeah. Good chapter.
Cool. Let's talk about Sakamoto Days. This is chapter 203, of course, by Yuto Suzuki.
What are these awards? Did Sakamoto win something?
No, they had their character poll, which I thought, is this 3 days ago? Character poll. Here we go. Pull up the thing. Yeah, so what's his name wins first? The
Okay. This kind of pisses me off to look up.
It's very the character polls,
what dog shit taste people have.
I don't know. I like Shun at second is the one where I'm like, man, I don't know. I think Shun has been a completely forgettable non-character
should be like fifth. Yeah,
up until the last like four chapters. But
well, same with Sakamoto's buds. Like they're great, they're fun side characters, but like 1 in 3 in Sakamoto Days.
Nagami, I think Nagami is fun. I don't know if he's like a first place best character in it, but like the chainsaw girl at 4 or the woodcutting girl at 4 is cool. Fifth is is fifth the guy with the gauntlet?
That's the guy who can go invisible. The tech gadgets and stuff.
Yeah. But then, like, okay, 7 is these 6 and 7 are like the two who were, I guess, like metal, featured. Yeah, featured whenever the poll was going on. Sakamoto at 8. Like, okay.
I'm surprised to see no Rin or what's a slur? Yeah, they're like 11th and 14th.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to see. Yeah, somehow Lou makes it on 15th, right? The girl who has literally not been in the manga for like 180 chapters.
This is all strange.
Slur's at 11th,
Sakamoto at 8th. Hot take. He's only down there because he's fat. That is the only reason he's not higher.
We do get
Sakamoto
Sniper
is better
at 20th.
Than all these characters.
Sniper at 20th is hilarious.
Wait, where's the dude with the katana? If we're including all the
he's,
side characters,
that's 13th. He's right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm sad they don't have the movie director guy. That's like my favorite character in the whole series is the movie director guy. Like he hasn't been in 100 chapters, but
he's too smug to be likable.
Yeah. Yeah. But somehow
I would have put Heisuke higher.
Yeah. Heisuke at 10th. I like Heisuke also. Yeah. I don't know.
It's this is bad taste.
Every character poll I've ever seen for a Japanese manga just proves to me that the tastes in the West and the tastes in Japan are completely different. Like even although the Chainsaw Man one was pretty right because was it like
that,
with
that was pretty right.
What's her name's car? Like wins it?
Yeah, it was like 8th. Yeah, Kobini's car was 8th and Kobini was 9th.
Yeah. So these are the top 10, I guess we're looking at, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah.
You know what? I think every character popularity poll pisses me off because it kind of validates my egotistical side and that I just feel like I have superior taste to everyone.
Yeah.
I look at it and I'm like, man, people really don't get it.
Well, there's the difference between the People's Choice Awards and the Oscars. And you got to ask yourself, which actually picks the best movie? Is it the one that all the people vote for or the one that the professionals choose? We're professional manga reading podcasters, Gautam. I don't know if you knew that. We make a very, very, very small income from this. So
true.
That does make us professionals. A professional makes money on the work they do. So
that's true. Our constituents, Yaji Black.
Yep.
And others
and others for 1 month at a time. I do like that their awards are like little Sakamoto faces.
Yeah, that's very cute.
But yeah, so this chapter is the sort of end of the flashback for Shun, where we kind of learn about like a little bit about his origin, I guess, that, you know, he was in an orphanage that he got kind of help getting released from by his, I'm trying to remember now, back like 6 or 7 chapters, he gets released by, he goes to track down his dad because he thinks his dad might know why he's psychic, or his dad might be psychic too or something. He, you know, runs into Sakamoto in his younger days. This is like,
well, he's like resentfully tracking down his dad. Well, resentful of his situation, hoping his dad would be like the only one who, like, I don't know, got him
cared. Yeah. I mean, he's got the kind of orphan complex of like,
for sure,
I was abandoned by my parents, and that, you know, affects how I view all the people who enjoy my company or love me at all. So,
and Sakamoto's very blasé about it. Because he's like, yeah, that sucks for you, man.
Yeah.
But the whole flashback.
He's also still in his like hyper killer, you know, part of the Elite Five or whatever.
Yeah. He's still a good guy. He just doesn't know how to be there for people.
Yeah. I also like that. I know this is funny because it's like the entire boat like explodes and crashes. And it's like in the bay, like when it's about to run into land, and it's like, okay, we'll erase all the records of your work. Like, how? Like, again, this is the fun part of Sakamoto days, where it's just wild shit happens and then people just don't notice, which is like,
yeah, it's like the populace. I love how the citizens in Sakamoto days are just generally apathetic.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, life goes on. Sakamoto pulled down a helicopter and used the rotors to make sure the boat didn't crash into land.
Yeah.
And they can cover up those tracks. Don't sweat it.
Yeah, for sure. This page and the next page I'll show, this is Sakamoto Days does not have the best art, but I think Sakamoto Days has,
I know, I was going to say the same thing.
Some of the best paneling, page layout, flow, like look at this, right? Shun is crying here, and he's like, there's still so much I wanted to talk about, but I left my dad to die. He's like reflecting on that. Sakamoto in the flashback reaches out and his hand lands, and we're in the present. Like, which is like an awesome transition, right? Like, he reaches out, boom, and he's saying the exact thing of why he's stopping him from killing the bow killer guy, whose name I don't remember. Thank you. He's like, I know you're a kind-hearted person who puts people's needs before your own. And it's like, man, that just like the flow of that is so excellent. And the time jump being like back to present of being like, literally we get the flashback and it flashes forward like right at the time where Sakamoto says, you know, assumedly the same thing to him in the past as he does now of like, you haven't changed. You're still a good hearted person, you know, that we like that about you more than being a killer or whatever. So,
yeah, it's great paneling. And also like from a story angle, it's literally validated in the flashback when he saves the kid instead of having his final words with his dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's all very sweet. Good. It's a really good chapter.
Yeah, it's really good. Like I said, the transition here between like the past, you know, the past face and the current face are like very similar positions, you know, from page to page, and the reach out, like, I don't know. It's just it's super excellent. Like, again, the page layouts, the choreography of the scene, even though it's not an action scene, is still top tier because it's Sakamoto Days.
Yeah. Like, honestly, a good father-son moment they had.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, Sakamoto kind of says, like, hey, you're not the only one. I've tried to kill people, too. It's like, everyone has evil feelings. That's why assassins exist. But you, it's like, you're someone who tries to be a good person. That's who you are. That's what we all love about you, including me. And he's like, hey, for as long as I've known him. And this is,
I think this might be the most Sakamoto has talked.
Yes. Well, this is, I think, this is him reading Sakamoto's mind here, right? Like, for as long as I've known him, the guy's actions have aligned with his art, even back when I didn't trust anyone. Or no, this is Shun, I guess, thinking.
Yeah.
He's straightforward as he's expired. Also, this is another funny moment coming up. He's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Sakamoto, I've come to my senses. And he's like, why did you imagine killing me? He's like, I got annoyed at you for being so mobile. which is like this is a great gag every time it happens, where it's like Sakamoto imagines killing Shun.
Yeah, I like how in the flashback he used it to knock him out and to take out the guy behind him. Do you remember that scene?
It was a couple weeks, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, but yeah. It was great. But yeah, he's like, all right, let's go. And so we've got this guy whose name I don't remember staring down Heisuke and the
gambler,
the prediction woman. Yeah, that's right. He's the gambler guy. We get some good solid, you know, shonen shit. Like, my friends entrusted me with this task. That's reason enough to fight. I'm not backing down. And then she steps in front of him. She's like, you think I won't kill you? She's a cool character. I enjoy
her. I like her a lot too.
She plays into the way Sakamoto Days worked really well, in that there's kind of science fantasy parts, but it is, I don't know, it's treated in a very interesting way.
Yeah, I loved her scene with, where she made a gun out of a bunch of scraps.
Yes, that was I think we talked about that chapter. That was a couple months ago. It's like you've heard the phrase a run of bad luck or losing streak. It's like right now I sense an aura of misfortune around you. He's like, what? And shoots behind him and says, stop. And then Sakamoto just socks him. Ha. he's like, took you long enough, Taro Shin. Oh, I've been calling him Shun the whole time. His name's Shin.
Oh, yeah. It's
okay. This is how forgettable this character was to me before this flashback. Is he just like was a non-person?
Me too. I think my only criticism is that this flashback was too deep into the series.
It's 190 something chapters that started in the series, and it's like Shin is kind of our main character. I don't know. It has never really been about him until recently. So,
but I guess our opinions don't really align with most people's opinions.
That's true.
Given the popularity,
he's number two. So,
yeah.
But I do think that this arc has made him more of a character. Like, okay, he was always a good boy, and now I know why he's a good boy. And it makes sense that he's going to be the good, the good guy assassin, which he always was. But now it's like, I understand because it's informed now.
And, I think he still won't be my favorite character just because he's too, well-adjusted and normal.
Yeah.
As opposed to our colorful cast. But I think this did a lot of work in making him like an interesting character to root for on screen.
Yeah. He's got a pretty simple, orphan, tragic backstory. Yeah. Didn't get to hear his dad's final words, lost his dad twice kind of in a way. So it's like, it all makes more sense, but he still, became a good person. He's Batman, kind of. So then we get, the guy kind of bursts through the wall and fights with, this is the bodyguard of the mind reader girl or the Lucky girl. He's like, you think you can point a gun at me? And then we get, this is actually a callback to earlier where Heisuke did this a couple chapters ago where he's like, I don't think I can miss, and like puts the gun between them and shoots a bunch. And this, again, Sakamoto Days is the greatest. Hits the safety trigger on the gun. It's like, he hit the safety. He's like, all right, now run.
Absolutely destroyed their eardrums. But this is Sakamoto Days bullets where there is no such thing.
I didn't even think about that, but shooting a gun with the barrel 4 inches from your ear would absolutely deal damage to you.
I'm just being pedantic for no reason whatsoever. Sakamoto stopped a boat with a helicopter earlier, so
yeah. Also,
I think every Heisuke moment. The reason I like Heisuke is because he's a cool character, but also his sniper moments are every sniper fight is the best thing in the series.
It's
to me.
It's weird that like as much as we talk, like all of the action in Sakamoto Days is absolutely some of the best, if not the best I've ever seen in comics. And it's weird that like usually gunfights are not that interesting, right? Like usually hand to hand stuff or like interesting weapons, but like somehow, he's shooting bullets through like the wheels of tires. He's hitting safeties with bullets. This is getting me excited for what I think will eventually happen is the JRA sniper, not JRA. What do they call it? JLA?
Yeah. The sentient sniper rifle.
Yeah. The sentient sniper rifle versus Heisuke, which is like clearly a showdown that I think is being foreshadowed of like, these guys can both do wild shit with bullets. So
yeah. Round two, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
I they're buds now, so I bet it will be like a more, I guess they were still just messing around in round one anyway. They were like shooting motorcycles and like cranes and shit.
Yeah.
It'll
be interesting.
Either way, this is a cool panel. Loved it.
Yeah. Super great.
This is the hard-boiled guy.
Yeah. Hard-boiled guy is I love that they keep bringing this guy back and just being like, he gets the short end of the stick again. He's like, let me go. He's like, Sakamoto reached right past me, went down below. He'll be sorry. It's like, oh, hey, boy. Like, Sakamoto. Like, can everyone just start dropping it on the prison? It's like, ding. And they all just like fly out right into his face. He's like, yay, we're free. It's like, what happened to Boyle? It's like, I sense the aura of an anal fissure in him. I don't know. It's just a weird thing to throw in there, but it's just bad luck, Boyle.
No, I think he might have an anal fissure, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get, I don't know, this is just foreshadowing for the next chapter, I guess. We get
strange ominous foreshadowing that doesn't mean much.
Yeah, it doesn't mean much, but again, everybody almost everyone who shows up in Sakamoto Days has aura when they show up. So nothing new here. This is somebody. They're dressed well. Who knows? It'll be another cool. What will they use as a weapon? They will use a piano or something.
Yeah, this is. They're all in the John Wick school of they're 50% theater kid and then 50% assassin.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. But cool. Yeah. Anything else about Sakamoto Days you noticed or wanted to chat about?
No. Just a fun conclusion.
Yep.
That ended off a solid flashback that was much needed for Shin.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a good arc overall, because I didn't love the jail arc at the start. It was a little iffy, but, you know, it just takes a while to get into it. And once it gets into it, Sakamoto Days explodes and hits. So
I thought it was more interesting once Tenkyu showed up and we saw the fortune teller girl.
Yeah, yeah, but for sure.
Up till that point, it was just Heisuke and Shin is not the most interesting character to follow in this series.
Yeah.
And Heisuke didn't have a sniper rifle, which is,
yeah,
I don't know, a big part of what makes that character fun on screen.
Character defining. Cool. All right. Let's talk about Ruri Dragon. It's been a while since we checked in with Ruri Dragon, like almost a year, I want to say.
I don't think we checked in since like chapter one, man.
I think we maybe brought it back once. I want to say maybe not, though. It has been a while. I mean, it went on a huge hiatus, you know, for like over a year, and then came back and it's bi-weekly and online. So, yeah,
I literally think the last time we talked about it is when we started this podcast.
It might be because it was one of the first episodes I think we did was redrafted back in 2022, I guess, or 2021. I don't know. One of those,
man. 4 years.
Yeah, so she something has happened to Ruri, right? They paused the event for her because she has been lit on fire. Everyone's kind of concerned. Are they okay? So then, like, oh, we have to Ruri's mom and her teacher, I think it's her homeroom teacher, right? Who clearly knows more about everything than he's let on, because every time something happens, he's just like, okay, I like, let's move on or whatever. I don't know what his deal is.
I'm kind of like, maybe I'm forgetting because it's been a long time, but why does this guy know so much about
Ruri? We don't know. He just appears to know things. Like Ruri will show up with, like, you know, the bigger horns from a couple of weeks ago, or something happens and he's just like, oh, I guess it's this. And it's like, wait, how do you know that? Like, so yeah, I don't know.
Because like the mom, clearly she knows. She had sex with the dragon.
Yeah.
That makes sense. She knows what Daemon Fire is.
Yeah.
But the teacher is like, ah, yes, Daemon Fire. It has to be that.
Well, he lists the qualities of it. He's like, no smoke. It doesn't spread. Her clothes aren't burning. I agree. Add that all up and we've got Daemon Fire. And it's like, he knows that. Like, he like knows the qualities of a fantasy dragon thing. So.
Yeah, this guy is like a fed. Right. He's up to something.
Well, I'm definitely thinking that this is he knows more. I don't know why he knows more, but he knows more. Like, maybe he's
works
just like
for a government agency to monitor dragon humans,
or like, I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking maybe her like dad like hired this guy, or he's like also a half dragon and hasn't revealed it. Like, there could be lots of ways it could go.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, but she's burning. They shut everything down. And he mentions, like, hey, that's some mighty quick progression, though. Like, mind if I take a picture? Again, kind of suspicious, not in a bad way, but he's sort of like, he knows the rate of progression that a dragon should go through, and he takes a picture of her. But yeah, he's like, I'll skip the lengthy rundown, but, like, it's an ability every dragon, Ryu just means dragon, has a sign of normal development, so don't stress. He's like, really? Okay. But having it present like this now will make living as a human all the more difficult. This is where the chapter got really interesting for me. All this talk about like that fire won't fade. You're very different. You're never going to be normal again. Like, picture yourself engaging with other people's society looking like that. How does that strike you? And just kind of just like, you do have the option to remove yourself from society altogether. Any thoughts? And Ruri is like, help mom.
They really are so unhelpful to her. Like, who says this to, like, a 15-year-old girl in the middle of her school festival, right?
Yeah.
This would fill me, an adult, with existential dread.
Yeah. But I also, I totally agree, but I also think that this is a, you know, there's a lot of stories that are like, oh, this is a coming of age story, right? It's about how a child is growing into an adult and growing up in some way by, you know, seeing the world in, changing the way they see the world, right? That's like kind of what a coming of age story is. I think this is really interesting because this is more of a, like, I guess like a puberty story, you could kind of say, right? Like everybody feels like they're changing and they're weird and they can't go back to the way they were, right? Like that is kind of like a normal feeling when you're in that phase of your life. And I think this is a really, I think Rujang continually has been a really interesting and cool look at those feelings kind of, you know, escalated to 10, right? Like in a fantasy way of saying, you know, if, yeah. What if you felt so different that you were, and what if you really were so different? How do you deal with that internally? And they're literally telling her here, like it's going to make living harder, which is like a thing that as you grow up, you kind of realize like, wait a minute, things were easy when I was a kid and things are going to be hard when the more I grow up. Like to me, this is a really impactful kind of view at that.
It's like one of these like thematic catch-alls that's like, you will be perceived as different.
Yeah.
And that could mean so many different things to so many different people.
Yeah.
Like if you are like, if you're not a straight person, right? Like if you're gay, yep, trans, anything, or if you're black, brown, like there are times in society where everyone can kind of relate to feeling like the odd one out, yep, you know? It doesn't have to do just with race, sexuality, growing up. It's like, I think every human being has a moment in time where they feel like they don't belong. And I think this resonates.
Yep.
With a ton of people for that reason.
And I think that moment happens for most people sometime in the range of puberty years, right? Like that your body starts changing, sure, your mind starts changing, it accelerates. So yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think it lines up. But yeah, and I think like Rude Dragon is pretty continually kind of, I think, made this comparison of, you know, feeling different to people around you. And what does that mean for your age? What does that mean for the choices you make? It is interesting, though, that they kind of, that giving her the option is of like, hey, you can just withdraw from society and be a little weirdo out all on your own, or like, you know, you can keep trying, right? Which I think is an interesting, interesting dilemma to present to someone to say like, hey, if you feel weird when you're this age, you can just kind of, you know, say I'm a weirdo and go and not try to be social and not, you know, live a life, a quote unquote normal life, right? Like a regular, you know, stop going to school or whatever is basically, right? Like kind of the dilemma here.
I think why this came off as a little weird in my eyes, and why I mentioned that they're so unhelpful to her earlier, is because she's a kid,
yeah,
and not an adult. I feel like if these were adults talking to children, you would very much not give the child an option to be exiled.
Yeah. The mom is also literally like, you could do worse than the hermit life. Is like, yeah. So I don't know. Her mom is very weird, a very strange mom, but it is empowering to the child or the changing person reading this to know that someone else can't make the decision for you. I think that's important kind of in the theme, like we were talking about too. So I get why they do that in this situation, the two adults.
I think that makes sense when you contextualize it that way. I suppose the theme that the author was going for is to give Ruri the choice on what path she wants to take, and they'll be supportive regardless. But
yeah,
in actuality, it's like, if you want to exile yourself from society, feel free. Yeah. Is not good advice for a child.
No, it is not. Well, and that kind of does come into play when this other girl, whose name I'm forgetting, comes in to talk.
Yeah, I love her. She's great.
Yeah, she's great. She's different than Ruri in the way that she's like overly direct. And Ruri is sort of like direct when she needs to be, but also kind of hides, you know, things that she doesn't think people want to hear.
I think they're both very similar.
Yeah, they are.
Types of people.
Which I think is actually where the friction comes from with these two, is that I don't know if you ever met someone you go, wow, that guy is exactly like me, but like slightly different things, and we do not get along. Like, or, you know, has one very minor difference, and it's like, wow, that, I don't know. I have met people that I think are very similar to me that I just absolutely do not get along with, because I don't know. Something about having two of me in the room does not please me. So
I don't think I've had that situation, but I've seen my own traits in other people, and I cringe when they come up.
Yep.
But it's probably like the traits I don't like about myself is like the things that make me cringe, like people pleasing tendencies. I'm just like, oh, quit people pleasing so much.
Yeah. But she brings up, she kind of puts another interesting twist on the thing here where it's like, she's like, okay, up and at him, like, let's go back and make, you know, let's go back to, you know, go back to school, go back, show everybody you're okay. And Rory's like,
they had a blowout, like, by the way, a chapter before this.
Yeah.
So there is friction right now as well. They kind of just like had like a friendship breakup-y kind of talk right before in the chapter right before this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And Marie's like, I can't just rejoin the fun like this. The other girl's like, no harm done. What's the big deal? It's like, the deal's me and my fire. Like, everyone would. This is where it gets interesting, because Rory focuses on what other people are going to think, and like, kind of like, other people are going to say this, like everyone would forget about the sports and treat me like the main event. Like, he's like, so you're a little, I do like her outlook on it. It's like, so you're a literal fireball. So what? He's like, not much phases you, huh? Kashiro, I guess that's her. Again, that's her name. Yeah, like, going forward, Aoki will always be burning, and that constant attention is going to do a number on her head. She'll likely find it harder than ever to maintain normal relationships with others. I like that she's like, okay, well, that's her problem to figure out. Like, it's like, so what if she's got some harmless fire going on, or if she's less human every day? Why should that be our problem? Like, this is the interesting outlook, right? Of like, don't, like, if she leaves, everyone at school thinks it's their fault, right? Like, don't make this our fault. Like, it's like, let her figure it out. Don't, you know, don't be like, well, everyone else would hate me, so I'll leave, you know, because other people are going to treat me X, Y, and Z. So.
And by saying all this, she's the one who is treating Rory the most normally.
Yes.
Though I think that's lost on everyone in the room at the moment.
A little bit, because it's kind of it's a childish outlook, but it's a hopeful outlook. That it's the kind of good childish outlook where it's like, ah, the child is smarter than the adult, because there is no nuance, and it is directly kind of a good outlook of like, the other people, like, don't worry about what other people think. Go back, you know, Rory, and because we want you there. Right. So.
Yeah. Like, they're giving her advice on how Rory will be perceived very differently, but she already doesn't need that advice because she's not treating Rory differently.
Yeah, exactly.
Just treating her like a pal.
I mean, I've kind of seen that people do treat Rory a little differently, but they don't make her an outsider in the way that she maybe, the way the adults are making her out to be in this chapter, right? She was included in the sports festival. She was included in the organization committee or whatever. She was included in events. Like, she is not being excluded, maybe in the way that she thinks she might be, for all of these reasons, right? For all of these dragon traits that she's showing. So,
yeah, her pals are very chill about it.
Yeah, everyone's pretty chill about it, which is part of the fun of the chapter. Yeah, but Rory is kind of, again, she's like, I can't go back out like this. All eyes would be on me. She's like, you know, I tend to stand out in a crowd too. It's like apples and oranges. Like, she also, like, this is where it gets, again, there's lots of cool things in this chapter. Existing like this is brutal for me. It's my fault they had to pause the event, and I'd feel super uncomfortable disrupting stuff for everyone else going forward. Kashiro says, like, you don't want people walking on eggshells for you, but now you're the one putting their feelings first. Where's the logic there? It's like, not a two-way street. I'm the one who's not quite human. This is, again, kind of an interesting, a sort of puberty point of view, I guess I could say, of like, kids are selfish, right? Like, kids are extremely self-interested, and part of that growing up phase, you know, part of all of growing up is learning to grow out of your self-interest and understand others and, you know, relate to others and sympathize and empathize and all those things. And Rory is kind of displaying the childish side of the argument here, of that, you know, this is hard for me. It's bad for me. I'm going to feel uncomfortable disrupting everyone else. You know, it's very kind of a me a situation for her. And Kasha was very much like you said, you didn't want other people walking on eggshells, but so you think you're putting their feelings first, but really it's all about you. And Rory is just kind of like, it's not a two-way street. Like, I'm the one who's different, right? This is kind of everybody feels, right? It's like, oh, I'm the one who's different. Everyone else is normal and fits in. So kind of reinforcing that.
Yeah. And Rory does say that she doesn't want to disrupt everyone, but, you know, that's like an excuse, right?
Yeah.
I really appreciate this chapter and the chapter before it for these kind of blowouts that these two have.
Yeah.
Because they're such reasonable conversations. Even if they are like kind of being dramatic and teenage girls about it, because they are teenage girls.
Yeah.
They're really communicating in a really healthy, good way.
Yes, they're hashing out character growth on the page, which is always good to see.
And I feel like Ruri's feelings are, they make so much sense in that she is in the, I think she is the one in the wrong. If we're going to say someone's in the wrong here, right? But I feel like I would feel the same way in her shoes.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely. Like, yeah. And I think that's the power in the, this whole arc and chapter is like, it, this bottom panel here kind of sums it up, right? Is like, you know, Ruri says, I'm not exactly human. Kashiro says, not exactly human. Okay, so why do you have to act human? It's like, she's like, being considerate of others is normal. The interesting thing here is that everyone feels weird and different. And that's like, she's basically saying like, it's okay to, like, you don't have to fit in exactly with everyone in the way that you think they want you to fit in with them, right? Like, you're different. You're a dragon girl. So you don't have to act like other people because you are different. So if you try to make yourself act like other people, that's bad, right? Like, that's false.
And we were told last chapter that Ruri finds, like, socializing exhausting because she's a very, like, sensitive person in that she cares what people think about her, and she is trying to understand how people think, like, what is she to them, right? Like, why do people find her interesting? So she doesn't fully understand, like, other people's thought processes. So she's making an assumption here, thinking she'd be disrupting everyone and that she'd rather just, like, leave. But in actuality, they want her around. She'd be more disruptive leaving.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
She just doesn't get that.
Yeah, so Kashiro here says, like, you can't just cut and run after dumping all that stuff on me. If the fire's cramping your style, then figure that out first. Because if you end up ditching us all today, everyone's going to feel responsible about you leaving, which is, we kind of talked about this, right? Like, if she doesn't go back and she becomes a recluse, everyone, like, other people are going to feel responsible for that. That isn't solely, I don't want to be like, it's not solely her decision to make, but everyone freaked out, something weird happened. And then if she leaves, that's like, oh well, we all made Ruri feel uncomfortable and we all made her leave, and that, you know, weighs on their soul now instead of just, it's not just about her, which again is this kind of external sympathetic relate to how others will feel in the situation type of thing.
And I love her last line, you better show up so we can finish duking it out.
Yeah.
They are like good friends, because aside from Ruri's best friend, who, like, they've been pals forever, so she's obviously on Ruri's side, but this is like the first girl Ruri like befriends, and they have like a rough, rocky start at the beginning. But in the last chapter, she's like, Ruri asks, like, did you only become friends with me because I'm half dragon? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And Ruri's like, that hurts my feelings. That's not cool. But I was like, okay, I can see where Ruri's coming from, but this girl just completely accepted that being half dragon is a part of her, right? So
yeah,
and who accepted her more than her buddy here? We should really know her name.
Kashiro.
Kashiro.
Right? Yeah, Kashiro.
Kashiro was the first one to accept her fully. I mean, aside from the given her best friend and mom,
and your mom and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it's really interesting here that. Yeah, Ruri says here is like, "May, like, I want to go out there." It's like, I don't remember what I was going to say. The cool thing here is that you will see this a lot of times in stories where a character like Kashiro shows up, and instead of doing what she's doing, you feel like they grind the main character's progression to a halt, right? They're an obstacle to the character's progression. And I think something that's really good about Kashiro, just from sort of like a meta storytelling level, is that Kashiro shows up and pushes the story forward and pushes Ruri character development forward every time. Like, every single time she shows up, Ruri is moving and changing and doing things. And I think that's why we like her so much, because like a character like this very easily could have been the one standing in the way, and Ruri would have said, no, you're wrong, I will develop. And then, you know, we don't like this character because they get in the way of Ruri developing. But instead, she shows up and she's the impetus, and she's the voice of that's not right, Rory. You need to be thinking like this. You need to develop. And it goes against what Rory's thinking, but it drives her to develop. So I think that that's one of the reasons I really like Kashiro.
I think she's probably just been there because she's like the flashy standout one before Rory got her.
Yeah.
Opponents.
Yeah. She has like dyed hair or whatever, which is, you know,
yeah,
very minor. So, like they mentioned.
But yeah, I think essentially like and they're wired similarly. I think she just gets Rory.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where they go from here. But yeah, so we get the teacher sensei says there may be a way to turn down the flames temporarily, though I can't promise you it'll work. And mom's like, oh, really? And he's like, you could have led with that. Can't stuff it out forever. But since this is fire we're talking about, we get honestly maybe my favorite page of this whole manga up to the area where she like runs down, takes her socks off, runs into the school pool. And this page on the left is just awesome. Like jumps to the pool and has like a commando moment, right? Isn't it commando where they come out of the pool? Like, exactly.
It's also the art's like, I feel like the art has gotten better for Dragon. I don't know what's up.
It's a 2-week series that publishes 1 week amount of pages. Yeah. So
it looks good.
It does look good. I like it. Well, and also not to look over the resolution of her character arc here, where Rory basically says, I'm not human, so I'm going to quit acting like it. Right. This is the development of, where do I go? When you're younger, you look around and you think, I want to be like everybody else because I want to fit in. And then I think part of maturing is realizing I am different than everyone. I'm an individual and I want to be myself, even if that makes me slightly different from everyone, right? Like you don't want to be exactly like everyone else. And this is her saying, I'm not human. I'm not like everyone else. And I'm going to quit acting like it. Like this is a big kind of maturity leap from all the stuff we've been talking about. So yeah, this series is great.
I read the Reddit comments for this one and people like suspected that she's like having her breakdown moment where she loses her humanity or something. But exactly what you said. It's just her embracing that she's just going to be herself.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of this. Like, she's going to go full draconic dragon queen mode or whatever.
No, I don't think so. And I predict that the fire will maybe just, they said that one of the things they say earlier in the chapter, I don't remember if I grabbed the page for it or not, but he says like, maybe it could be a little smaller, but it's never going to totally go away. My guess is this ends up manifesting as like a hair thing for her maybe, or like, you know, it makes her look slightly different, but she isn't like wreathed in flame all the time or whatever.
Maybe just surrounds her horns or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something
around like her that, horns, right? or like around her neck. Like this is
I think it goes away. Yeah. And I only say this because it's going to be a pain in the ass to draw fire forever.
That I was also thinking about that. Here's my real prediction is that in the next chapter or two, we get Rory saying like, if I take a shower every morning, the fire doesn't show up until I get home at night. Like it'll be something like
that.
Right?
Something like
where
that,
it's like,
right? Yeah.
Oh, cool. Written off. We don't have to draw it every time. Cool.
Right.
I don't know. It's amazing that Rory Dragon started out as like, oh, cute little story. And now it's like, wait, this is like a incredibly nuanced and good coming of age story. Like one of the best I've ever read recently.
Yeah, like this is like one of the best slice of lives running right now because Ruri is an incredibly flawed character.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, she's probably exactly what most of us were like at that at 15 or whatever, right? Like this is really what people are probably like at that age. So
honestly, she probably lets things slide better than I did back then.
For sure.
No, I appreciate this. I appreciate that it's not, and I appreciate that she's kind of just like presents herself as this assertive shithead a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though she's like a sensitive kid, but it feels very opposite to a lot of like Japanese high school based manga I read where it's everyone's incredibly polite.
And yeah, like compared to something like Kobe-san, where it's like, Tadano is the nicest, best boy. He has no flaws.
Yeah.
Komi-san doesn't have a flaw. She has a character trait of she can't talk to people. Like, you know, two people basically without flaws. Like, and right. So, yeah, it's much better than that. It's great.
I'm liking Ruri Dragon. And I genuinely, you can tell the author is like a well-adjusted person based on the conversations that these characters are having.
Yeah,
They feel... I feel like it's unique for the real talks these characters have with one another is addressing their problems. It's like incredibly grounded for a manga about half human, half dragon girl.
Yeah. It's also, yeah, I mean, that's kind of all I have to say about the chapter, I guess. Do you have anything else to bring up? I think it's great. I'm looking forward to next week as always, or 2 weeks from now.
I'm enjoying it though.
Cool. One thing I was going to bring up about just kind of the series in general is the one shot of Rory Dragon has part where she goes and meets her dad in the forest and he's just like a big dragon and there's kind of a bonding moment. We have not gotten that in the regular series yet, I don't believe. So,
yeah, we haven't.
I figured they would go there sooner rather than later, but it's interesting they are holding off on that. And I wonder, maybe the fire, maybe this, every time a new thing develops in her, I'm like, oh, maybe they'll go talk to her dad. Cause like mom knows he's just up in the mountains somewhere. Right. So,
yeah,
if we assume that
I have to imagine they play it differently in this iteration because they went to the dad in the one shot because they had questions about Ruri's puberty.
Yeah.
Her puberty dragon syndrome, whatever is happening to her. But here she is already like dragoning it up. So I don't know. I don't know why they would want to go to the dad.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, and she's
not
like,
sure what the reason would be.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I agree. And it's also like, she's growing as a character without him. So do we need him? Like, I don't know. He looks cool in the one shot.
He does look cool. I think we see him. I bet there's like a problem that happens, like some dragon problem that is like, oh shit, we gotta get control over this.
Yeah, for sure.
Go to the dad for that.
I wanted to find the.
I forgot what he looks like.
He looks like a typical Japanese dragon. Yeah, I pulled up the one shot. Let me find it real quick.
One of Ruri's friends asked how the sex happens. Oh yeah, he looks badass.
I mean, he looks like a Yu-Gi-Oh card. Like, if we're being honest, like,
yeah, he does. He does. And then like, he gets all cute once he realizes it's Ruri.
Yeah, but he's pretty freaky looking.
How with the uncomfortable questions, he's just like, ask your mom.
Yeah, I also do wonder. I assumedly eventually she will get wings, and since in the one shot she flies with her dad, that's kind of one of the big things that happens. Maybe that's when like they finally go meet him. It's like, oh shit, she has wings. She's learned how to fly. You're like, well, the only person who can teach her how to fly is her dad. So.
Yeah, someone else who knows how to fly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And also, it would also be interesting. I will say that I don't know how common this is in Japan, which is probably why it isn't super, talked about, or you don't see it in, sort of discussed in manga all that much. But like, I'll label myself as a child of divorce, right? My parents divorced when I was 16. I'm in the middle of high school.
Hey, me too, brother.
Yeah, like it's not a thing that comes up very much, and. While her parents aren't strictly divorced, they are living separately and they do not live together. And she would, maybe go spend weekends with dad or whatever. Like, I used to go spend weekends with my mom and stuff. And so like, I wonder if maybe there's an angle of maturity to write about the story in that way. I don't know. I'm interested to see if they go that angle or not.
I guess it depends on their relationship. Cause in the one shot they were still married, right? Like the mom and the dad.
I think so. Yeah. I think they mentioned it's like, oh, we never got divorced. He just can't live in the city as a dragon. So yeah, I don't know.
I'm with her friend who asked how they had sex. Is like, I hope the author never answers it, but yeah. The question should still be posed, and I'm glad the author posed.
I thought that they said something maybe in this one, or maybe it was in the one shot. I think it was in this one where it's like, don't dragons get to like be human like once a year or 18 years? I feel like there was something like that, but maybe I'm thinking of another series where it's like, the dragons get to be human for, one day every 20 years or 100 years or something like that. I don't know.
Ah, you're thinking of Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Yes. Yeah, well, exactly. That is what I was thinking of.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I figured.
Cool. Anything else about Rory Dragon or any of the manga here?
Nope.
Cool. No news this week. Nothing super big was happening. A couple of announcements, a couple of stuff upcoming that I didn't want to go over too much stuff. So let's go to one more thing. I have almost 40 hours in Monster Hunter Wilds.
Hell yeah. You loving it?
It's great. Just the fact that it's just like more Monster Hunter. And to be honest, like the story is the best story Monster Hunter has ever done. Like usually the story Monster Hunter goes like this. Wow. A new place. Look, this monster appeared. Shouldn't be there. Go kill it. Wow, look, another monster appeared. Shouldn't be there. Go kill it. Wow, look, another monster appeared. That's dangerous. Go kill it. Like, and you do that 25 times, and then it's like, oh, an elder dragon, go kill it. This one is cooler because there's actual like other things going on. There's like human settlements, there's other characters in the story that are actual characters that have like, you know, drives and desires and stuff. So the story I was impressed with. It's like a 4 out of 10, but it's the best Monster Hunter's ever done.
Yeah, it gives you something to like work with, right?
Because well, usually in Monster Hunter, there's nothing. There's literally nothing to work with, like, to be honest. Like, even world,
Like all video games, I tend to like, even if I'm not fully pretending I'm the character, I like to immerse myself a little bit, right? Like you still project yourself onto the character you're playing to an extent.
Yeah.
And if there, every other Monster Hunter game had the most dog shit story, even a 4 out of 10 would it at least feels let so you great. Immerse
yeah.
better, right?
It's like, oh crap, that's even, yeah. And I it does have, and towards the end of the like low rank story, which is kind of like the main story, there's some really badass like moments. And what if you've played it, anyone's watching, you will know like, oh, by the order of the guild. And that's like, there's a couple of moments where technically you have to be given permission by the guild before you hunt any monsters, which is what your handler is about. She's like, she will always say at the beginning, she's like, oh, by the order of the guild, you can hunt this Kimitris or whatever. But yeah, it's great. Getting to the end game and looking at the sets and looking at the different abilities and the things to farm, it's just like, yep, I'm having fun farming. It's a great game. Learned a new weapon. Nice. It's always awesome. So
how is it on the PC? I heard there were some issues, but
It has been weird for me and for everyone. So I played maybe 30 hours of the game and did not see a single like visual issue. You know, like a little bit of pop in was basically right. Like if I swung the camera around, stuff in the distance would pop in, whatever. It's a video game.
That's fine.
Does not bother me. Then I restarted my computer for another reason, for like a Windows update or something. And then I played for like a day and a half, and I would get the issues that everyone was talking about, where it's like, if you swing your camera around, you'll just frame will freeze for 1 or 2 seconds. There'll be weird like triangles popping in and out everywhere in certain textures and conditions and stuff. I got that for like a day. And then I was like, okay. And I was just like, you know, the thing that always helps on Steam is like, oh, verify your installation, which is basically like reinstalling and checking all the files. So I was like, I'll verify my reinstallation overnight, see if that's okay. I did that. I came back the last 2 or 3 days. I've seen no issues. There was also a minor update from good. Capcom. So maybe they fixed some of the stuff. I don't know. So I had like a day and a half of issues visually. Now I'm running a relatively recent and powerful rig. It's about 2 years old. But yeah, I've not seen any of the systemic visual issues that a lot of people have seen, except for those 36 hours. So
I find that like all of my favorite games released on PC have been dog shit on release. A lot of Japanese titles like Nier Automata.
Nier, that's so funny. I had to play Nier on my laptop at like 683 by 487, or some weird resolution, because it would not work on any normal resolution for me. That was a bad release.
They just butchered the PC release. I don't know why, but
yeah,
amazing game. It sucks when amazing games have like issues. But I'm glad it's like working for you most of the time nowadays.
Yeah, I just had issues because I've gone back and done literally the exact same like hunts for the same monsters in the same places where I saw issues repeatedly for that one day, and it does not do it anymore. So either Capcom fixed it or my reinstall worked. So who knows? Speaking of games that came out and were really bad, tell me you're playing Cyberpunk 2077 again.
Yeah, dude, I hadn't played since launch, and I don't know, I was bored, so I booted it up, and it's a fun game. It's really fun. I don't know if it is as amazing as people say, because I had Phantom Liberty hyped up for me like crazy amounts. Like,
yeah,
it's a masterpiece. It's a fucking mess. I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. That's how I felt. It's a problem when people hype shit up, is you have expectations that it will be amazing.
But yeah,
no, it's still solid.
I played a good chunk of it. I played maybe 15 or 20 hours. It is very much just, it's like, it's a Fallout game. Like
it's a Fallout game.
It's like, it's Fallout or Skyrim, but like, it's that exact kind of game, but in a cyberpunk city. Like, so it's that kind of game.
I do think I'm being a little harsher on it because I broke the game. And I have so much of it left. It's like, if you just pick up a katana and like,
yeah,
there's one cyber implant that slows down time.
That's exactly what I did when I played last time.
I'm pretty sure it's impossible to lose. I put it up to the hardest difficulty, and there's no difference because the enemies just die.
You just slow down. As long as you can.
Yeah.
The only time that I had trouble was like if there were too many guys to cut in the time that I had slow time, it would be hard. But that rarely happens.
Yeah. And like as you progress, there are things that occupy that time with like, I don't know, it makes it so that even if there's like a billion dudes on screen, you can probably figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
With that said, I actually didn't want to talk about Cyberpunk because that's a less interesting conversation than I wanted to mention. I watched The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
The Nick Cage movie. Yeah.
Did you see that?
I've not seen it. I'm interested in it. I almost watched it the other day, but I ended up watching Spider-Man again or something. But
it's very fun, actually. I think you'd like it.
Yeah,
it's,
I think I would.
It's not like spectacular or anything, but it's a fun, funny buddy comedy movie. And the standout was Pedro Pascal.
He's great.
He's so great.
Yeah.
I'd say it's like overall like a pretty good movie. It's like a lot of parts of it that I think are just like middling, but there's some scenes that had me busting up. It just like genuinely hilarious moments.
That's good to know, because I always thought that was going to be like, oh, it's probably like a little bit of a comedy, more serious, but it's good to know it's just like a pure comedy, just about, right? I'm sure maybe it's a little
serious, it's a comedy drama, like you mentioned. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Okay,
but I don't know. I think 70% of that movie was like really solid, and then there was some like cliche parts and boring
that
parts,
is basically every Nick Cage movie except for like two of them. Like Nick Cage has only ever actually been in like three really good movies, and every other movie is 70% good and 30% bad, like or the worse
or the inverse ratio.
He's been in, hold on, tell me if you agree with this, he's been in is it called Man of War or what's the
Lord of War.
That's probably the best movie he's ever been in. That's a
that
fucking
is the
amazing
best
movie
he's been in.
Matchstick Man is my favorite movie that he's ever been in. Have you ever seen Matchstick Man?
No.
Matchstick Man is a great movie. You should go watch that. Okay. Don't look up anything about it. Go watch it. And then is it Leaving Las Vegas? Or no, he's in Leaving Las Vegas is good, but he's in Raising Arizona. Also a fantastic movie.
Those are his only good movies. I'd say National Treasure is fun.
The first National Treasure is really good. Yeah, that's true. I do enjoy that.
I don't think we can count Kick-Ass. So
maybe
he's the bad.
Good. He's in the second one, right?
He's in the first one. He dies.
Oh, that's right. Spoiler. I'm thinking of who's in the second one that plays the new guy.
I actually haven't seen Kick-Ass 2.
Okay. I haven't seen it since it came out, but is it Jim Carrey?
That's pretty funny.
It is Jim Carrey, isn't it? Yeah, Jim Carrey is who I was thinking. Yeah, Jim Carrey is like the new big superhero in that one. But that's weird. Right. He's the first one. Okay, I remember that. Yeah, Kick-Ass was that's better than I expected. I haven't thought about that movie in 15 years.
I came out of this movie liking Nicolas Cage more. Even though I still think he mostly makes bad movies, I don't know.
He's not a bad actor, is the thing, though. You're right. Not. He does mostly make bad movies, but he's a really good actor, like, which is weird.
Yeah. I thought it was charming overall.
That's good. I need to check it out. That's good to know, because it's probably free streaming somewhere, right?
It was on Prime. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll check it out. Cool. Anything else you want to chat about? Or are we good to get out of here?
Yeah, we're good to get out of here.
Awesome. Hey, thanks everyone again for listening or watching. Don't forget to leave us feedback, comments, upvote, thumbs up, like, subscribe, all that jazz. Check out Twitter and Patreon, which are linked in the description. And thank you for being with us yet again this week.
Goodbye.
And don't forget to read more manga.